Welcome to Satiate, a women's integrative health and soulful living podcast, and a place where you can explore your path to greater peace, joy, and personal liberation with food and life. I'm Sue Van Rays, and I'm so happy to be here with you. I'm the founder of Boulder Nutrition here in Boulder, Colorado. I'm a functional nutritionist, food psychology specialist, yoga instructor, and author of 2 books. I also lead women's wellness and yoga retreats, both locally and internationally. It is my mission and my absolute passion to support healing the feminine through food, mind-body connection, and pleasure. Because how we eat is how we live. There's no separation. So I created Satiate as a place to explore all different kinds of potent conversations, leading you and me deeper and deeper into the wisdom that lives inside of us. This place, our true nature, is always wise, always well, and always whole. And it can act as our North Star in everything we do. I also am so excited to explore the very ingredients that will serve you in cultivating a liberating, joyful, and satiating experience with both what you eat and how you live. And most of all, if you are here, you know that as you satiate all levels of your being, body, mind, heart, and soul, you not only fill up your internal well, but you also have more to give to your great circles of life. If you love this podcast, be sure to subscribe by hitting the little plus sign at the top of your podcast screen so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And please leave a review. This helps me so much to ensure that this podcast can find its way to those women who need it most. Thank you so much for being here with me, and I'm so excited to share Satiate with you. It is feeling so good to be back here with all of you, and I've been excited to record this episode for many days. But I was feeling a little rusty when I opened my computer and sat down with my microphone today, realizing it has been a while since I've recorded a podcast, and even longer since I recorded a solo episode. But I'm so happy to be here with you today, and I have some personal and slightly vulnerable stories about some things in the past many months that I thought would be relevant to share, not only because it's healing for me to share my story, but also because in my experience, sometimes hearing other people's stories can be a catalyst for our own healing. As we know, many of us have things in common that we go through in life and health. So I wanted to go back a few months here in time and share with you a little bit about my journey through my last year, actually, pretty close to a year exactly, where I signed my book deal last September, early October, and launched into the writing of the book, which is going to be coming to you in April of 2024, Food and Freedom: How to Make Peace with Your Plate. So I was so thrilled to have that opportunity and kind of ran out of the gates with lots of inspiration and lots of momentum to get started. And everything was flowing really well and feeling great. And I was actually loving the writing process. What became hard for me last year was that the writing process was all encompassing, and other things in my life started to feel challenging. Other pieces of my work, other obligations I had. And it was a really interesting life lesson because, as many of us know and have experienced, often what our minds want and what our bodies want are two different things. And that became really clear for me somewhere early 2023. In fact, I was about 3/4 of the way through writing my manuscript, and I had led 3 retreats in less than 6 months, and I had a really full content calendar staring back at me every time I set foot in my home office to sit down and work on some of the projects that were happening in my business and in my personal life. And I loved all of them, but what I had noticed is that my life had been ticking along just like my mind had planned, but my body was beginning to say something different. Often I've noticed this big gap, especially in the past few years, of what my mind wants me to do and what my body is actually up for. And it's an interesting paradox. For most of my life, my mind would win this inner tug of war by pushing through and forcing and overriding. And much of that came from my gymnastics career as a young child that carried me all the way through college, where we were taught to override constantly. Override pain, override fear, override fatigue. And also, this was a similar flavor as what I noticed single parenting through many of the early days, where I just had to keep on chugging along, even if I was tired, because my kids needed me. And parenting, as we know, has many facets of moments that we have to keep going for the sake of our kids, even if we really truly need a break. Anyways, something was really different this time, and there was a louder voice inside of me that knew that something wasn't working. And as many of you know, and I've shared, I'm in the midst of perimenopause. So what I've noticed is what doesn't work for my body is becoming louder. So my ability to override those body sensations and cues and even intuition is no longer really an option. And there's a part of me that loves that. It's one of, you know, the silver linings in a sense of perimenopause. It's sort of like an inner reckoning for me. But also, sometimes it can be problematic if I have made big plans or set big goals or have a timeline for something. So somewhere between perimenopause and maybe a little of my aging wisdom or even some deep intuition, I'm really not sure exactly what happened, but I started waking up in the middle of the night with a lot of panic setting in. In the wee hours of the night, I would find myself with this recurring fantasy of how I could cancel everything. And I mean everything. Like, I was thinking about canceling the book. I was thinking about canceling clients. I was thinking about canceling programs. I was thinking about canceling plans, canceling social engagements. There was a big part of me that was just feeling like something needed to shift. And my exhaustion really was showing up in wanting to just cancel everything. And I don't think I've ever really had that particular feeling before. I think that was a new one for me because I've always had a lot of inspiration and energy and passion for my work and for most areas of my life. So it was really quite scary. And I started to get really nervous that, you know, I was really heading in a negative direction towards a big experience of adrenal fatigue. And I've supported so many women around healing adrenals and adrenal fatigue and burnout over the years. And there was just a deeper knowing that I needed to do something, and I kind of needed to do something pretty quick to prevent things from getting worse. So what I discovered and what I want to share with you in this brand new episode today and this brand new season of Satiate was how I went through like an almost burnout phase and then what I did to bring myself back to balance. Because I know that so many of us experience something similar in our lives. We're in a culture of doing so much and filling up our to-do lists and racing through our days and feeling so overextended and giving and giving and giving and putting out our energy without very much left for ourselves. And so in this particular time of the season, in honor of this fall equinox, and something I love about the fall equinox is the balance of equal light and dark all over the planet, and it being the season of really tending to our inner wells to ensure that we are strengthening ourselves as we move towards the colder months, which is kind of coming from ancient traditional medicine, Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine. I wanted to share a very personal and vulnerable story of my experience with you in honor of this time of year, so that hopefully you can as well benefit from some of the things I learned, because this is very potent medicine of our time. Stress, fatigue, exhaustion, doing too much, giving too much, not saving enough of our energy to refuel and tend to ourselves is such a problematic situation in the world today, and especially for women. So as this time became more and more clear that something needed to change for me, which was sometime around mid-March last year, I had the last few chapters to write in my book, and I really didn't want those chapters to be the tired chapters, but I was scared they were going to become that if I didn't do something different. So I started to really have some intense and really truthful and real conversations with myself. What needed to change? What could I do in my life and in my body to really restore? So I wanted to just share with you a few little things that I did and how they impacted me in the greater picture of life and health. So I thought it would be helpful if we broke it down into some of the things I did to internally refuel, reset, restore, nourish, and tend to myself, and some of the things I did externally to really shift how I was working and what I was doing in my life on a daily basis to bring myself back into balance. So the first thing, and you can probably guess, that I really needed for my body was deep rest. And there was some really significant advice that was given to me by my therapist, and she actually specializes in what she calls hyper-functioning entrepreneurs. And I hadn't identified with that name before meeting her, but once I heard that, I was like, oh yeah, that's definitely me. So I quickly started working with her, and it's been really helpful to hear some of her advice around how to bring myself back into a little bit more of a sovereign place. One of the most profound things that she suggested was that I actually take a week off and create like a staycation for myself. And that sounded amazing, and I had never done that before. So I did schedule a week with no obligations last spring, and I cleared my schedule, and it reminded me of the pandemic, actually, those early days of the shutdown where we would spend our days in pajamas and kind of slumber around the house. And that's exactly what I did. I mean, it was really, really mellow. I let myself take naps as much as I wanted. I went on long walks. I made soup. The weather was still, you know, kind of in that in between winter and spring. So I stayed cozy. I did some proofreading and writing of my book. That was the only thing, the only project I was really doing. And it was actually like such a great reset for me, and I highly recommend it if you've never done that before. At first I felt like, how can I give myself permission for this? But once I let the idea seep in a little bit, I started feeling better already, just with the permission to take a break. So deep rest for me started to become imperative, and that actually looked like more than just sleep, but A couple things I added in that were more helpful than just sleep by itself were taking some really long hot baths every evening to relax my system enough to get deep sleep. I would add some extras to the bath, some good bath salts that are high in magnesium like Epsom salts, or some herbs like lavender or eucalyptus. I would drink some herbal tea in the bath, and I would just kind of set myself up for a good night of sleep with that extra little boost of my body temperature. Even by just 1 degree, research has shown that we relax more and we fall into a deeper sleep. I also started including some naps in my week, and that was incredible to relax my system and to just get a little bit more of a reset during the day, and then also some yoga practice that was a bit more restorative. So some yin yoga, some restorative yoga, and some yoga nidra, which is yogic sleep that is said to be even more restful than sleep itself. So that was a few of the things I added in, along with going to bed early and just really prioritizing some downtime during the days. Meditation is a big daily practice for me, so I upped my meditation practice time to just about 30 minutes so that I could really deepen into that practice even more. I also really began to look deeply at what my body was needing food-wise and nourishment-wise, and that was interesting because of perimenopause, there's been some shifts in my metabolism and in my cravings and in what I need to stay in balance, which is actually interesting because food has always been a little bit tricky for me with my hypoglycemia, but perimenopause has kind of turned up the volume on that intensity in many ways. So really focusing on my blood sugar, really bringing myself into metabolic balance with heavy proteins and lots of really good fats has been so helpful, and adding in more superfoods. And so, you know, there's sort of two different kinds of superfoods that I'm talking about here. You know, we've got our really nutrient dense plants and dark leafy greens and berries and things that are high in phytonutrients, and those were already on my plate and always on my plate, and those are some of my favorites. But I also added in some of the kind of original superfoods, I like to call them, back to the days when, you know, we didn't have as many options as far as plants and variety. Ancient medicine really accentuates some of the really strong blood building foods and organ meats and nutrient dense proteins such as grass-fed beef and wild salmon, buffalo, wild game, things like that. So I was adding in some glandulars, which I'll get to in a moment, and some heavier proteins that were really resetting my system. And then, of course, I revamped my supplement regimen, and that actually helped a ton. There were some supplements that I added in that were high in adaptogens, and the adaptogens included things, you know, like ashwagandha, ginseng, and rhodiola, schisandria, tons of functional mushrooms, which are my absolute favorite, and some also glandulars in the adrenal formulas that I use, which were also incredible for my system. And then another thing I had kind of returned to that I hadn't done in a while was I started going to a local apothecary here in Boulder, Colorado, that's been around for 2 decades, similar to the duration of my business, and that's Rebecca's Apothecary. And Rebecca and I have known each other for almost that entire time, and she has just an incredible apothecary of loose and a lot of them local herbs. So I was going in and making these incredible herbal tea blends and brewing them up at home in big batches and really focusing in on adrenal support and deep rest and relaxation. And those teas became so so integral to my daily routine, but also something that I just absolutely loved returning to. And, you know, just sipping on in the evenings before bed, that was incredible. And just to be able to tweak them a little bit and add in and play with the different herbs that that were working and different ratios of herbs and things like that. So that was another really great remedy that I started to include that was an old one, but a good one. Herbs like Tulsi basil, red clover, California poppy, hops, skullcap, and red raspberry leaf were some of my top favorites in that time frame. And, you know, I noticed these things were helping, but the external way that I was relating to my life also needed to change, or I think it was just going to, you know, not repair, and I would be continuing to worsen my exhaustion. So I took a really close look at my external life and my business and my priorities and, you know, what I was saying yes to, my boundaries, and like my people-pleasing tendencies. And I looked at them through the lens of these three different questions. I want to share the questions with you today because I did share them on Instagram a long while back, right in the thick of it. And it was actually a lot of people reached out from that post. And, you know, it was funny because Jason and I were talking one evening and he was kind of joking around about how I have this phrase, it's now the subtitle of my new book, How to Make Peace with Your Plate. And he was like, you talk all the time about how to make peace with your plate as far as food, but are you talking about how to make peace with what's on your plate of life? And it really stuck. And we were both kind of like, ooh, that's a good one. So I really started to look at like, what's on my plate? Is there too much on my plate? Am I liking what's on my plate on my day-to-day? Am I taking on too much? Where can I trim down things so that there's more balance? And so I came up with these three questions, and here they go. So the first was, what is my priority? Or what are my priorities? There was a few that became really clear. What are my priorities? What brings me the most joy? And then where can I be the most of service? And that's kind of how I started to define and shift into, you know, some changes that I needed to make. And so it was really clear, actually, when I sat down, I'm like, let's look at the business. What's my priority? And it really showed up as my private clients are for sure up there on my list of my top priorities. My retreats, I had some retreats coming up and I was really excited about them and I love leading retreats. I had a Colorado retreat on the schedule and then I had a Bali retreat on the schedule and those were both filled up and I was so excited about them. And then I also, of course, wanted to make sure that I finished my book strong and that this opportunity, I just really wanted to make the most of it. And so those became my top priorities and my top external focus points: clients, retreats, and my book. And then when I started looking at my personal life, you know, it was also pretty clear. Sometimes these things are right there in front of us and yet we miss them. But it was very obvious that I needed to prioritize myself. I needed to prioritize my family. And I needed to prioritize my closest friends. And when I really got clear on that, it was even easier for me to say no to things. So we were having weekly family dinners, which was great. Both kids were in college and there was a lot going on. One was graduating. There was a lot to tend to last spring. And they were going through a lot with their, you know, preparing for finishing their programs. So lots of final exams and lots of stress and lots of work. And I was there to support them through that. And so much with my family here, so much with my family in Canada, and some of Jason's family from South Dakota. So just really, really prioritizing that. And making sure that I had time for those important people in my life, spending time with, I kind of got into a routine of spending time every week with one friend, one really close friend, and then just carving out time for all of my own self-care. So those became those three priorities and what brought me the most joy and where I could be of the most service. So fast forward, you know, I went to Bali to lead my retreat in June. I finished the manuscript right before I left, and I spent some time proofreading it for the last round there. The book was due just a few days after the retreat ended. I was in really a good space when I got to Bali. I was feeling really filled up, and my well was less depleted, and I was excited about being back there in one of my favorite places in the world to be, and one of the most healing places in the world for me. And so I led the retreat. I took lots of downtime on my breaks, and then I had booked myself a little bungalow on the beach. I'd never seen it. I'd never been to this little town, but I was so excited to go and have a few days there to turn in the book, finish reading the final read through, and hopefully have some downtime for myself. So that was incredible. I walked into these little Balinese bungalows, sight unseen, and I was so thrilled. Like, literally, the universe had gifted me the most perfect place for this little Sioux retreat and book ritual and things. So I spent a few days there, and it was so lovely to be on my own rhythm and take care of myself and get some body work and nap and rest and finish the book reading and turn in the book, which I did at sunrise on June 11th, after a little morning meditation and ritual, and it felt just perfect. I was on FaceTime with Jason when I did, and it was incredible, and I still had a couple days to unwind there. And then I came home, and we had only a couple days together here, Jason and I, and he left for 2 weeks with his son on a big adventure. So I had the house to myself for 2 weeks, mid-June, and that became another opportunity, like, to have an incredible staycation and to hang out with the dog. We had one dog at that point, to spend a little time with my kids, and I sat outside. I read some incredible books. I cooked really simple food. I went to bed early. I took lots of baths. I planted flowers. I went on walks. I spent so much time just sitting in our yard and being outside, and it was incredibly therapeutic. And then we just had a really fun summer with lots of family, lots of time in the mountains, and, you know, lots of play. We got a new puppy in August. She was actually born on the day that I turned in my book, which was such an auspicious kind of sign. And she's been incredible. We've been having so much fun with her. And Sadie's been having so much fun with her. And I can literally feel the oxytocin boost in my system of just having puppy land here at the house. It's been really sweet and fun and cute and precious. So we're here in September. Things are back in action. The podcast is back. I'm launching my women's circle in a couple weeks. I'm teaching a free online masterclass on September 29th that you're definitely invited to join, called Savor. Body-based wisdom for food and life. I'm so excited to teach that. It's really been a foundational aspect of my work for 2 decades, and that's coming together really well, and I can't wait to be with all of you who join next Friday, September 29th at 11 a.m. You can join at www.courses.bouldernutrition.com/savor, and I'll put that in the show notes as well. That's free online, and there will be a replay for that class sent out shortly after the live experience. So be sure to sign up, even if you can't make the live time. courses.bouldernutrition.com/savor. and things are rolling and I feel great. And I'm so, so relieved that I caught myself last spring kind of heading towards burnout and feeling that fear of, gosh, I surely don't want this to ruin what I have going on, which is so much good. The book's in its second round of edits, so I'm on a little book break until mid-October, and then we're working with design and the finalizing the cover and the internal design, and I'll be working with the publisher to finalize all the details and start getting ready for this book launch in the spring. I just got back from leading a really incredible Colorado retreat here just last week, which was so sweet, and we'll have our next Colorado retreat in April. I have a Costa Rica retreat coming up in February, but between now and then, I'm just here, and I'm settling into a good fall rhythm. I'm super psyched about some of the things I have going on this fall, and I'm really happy to be here with you. We have some incredible podcast guests coming this fall, and so keep your eye out for more Satiate episodes. It's always a great idea to subscribe to the podcast if you want to keep up with what's coming, so you get alerts when there's a new episode that drops. It's always a joy to be with you, and thank you for being here today. It is such an honor to spend time with you here on Satiate, and may this conversation be of benefit. From my heart to yours, I wish you health and happiness for the coming season, and may we meet again here very soon. Take good care.